The biggest way for your wife to not believe in you or your spouse to not believe in you is to say you want something, say you have a dream, but then don't do it. Hey, honey, we're buying these two properties. You want to win someone over about what you're doing? Show them some result. Her family was like, yeah, they're going to be moving into the basement soon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they thought. But sometimes you have to believe so strongly in your dream that you're willing to make the sacrifice and willing to go alone. I did 5 wholesale deals in my first month full time and made $52,000.
Wow.
Now, at the time, that doesn't sound like much now, but
it's double your income.
And it was, to me, it was all the money in the world. And so what I did is, at the time, I couldn't afford to go buy like the CDs from the greats, you know? So I went to the public library and I checked out of the library Tony Robbins and Tom Hopkins and Brian Tracy, and Zig Ziglar was like one of my favorites. And while I'm driving around in a little pickup truck looking for some distressed house, they're in my ear, the whole time in my ear. And that was the greatest transformation that ever happened to me, was just thinking in a different way.
Welcome to the show, Jerry.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
All the way from Puerto Rico?
Yeah, I came here just to be here with you on this podcast.
Oh, well, that means the world to me. And you brought your lovely wife, so I got to hang out with her as well. It's so cool.
Thank you for the tour.
Oh, my pleasure.
It was fascinating. I mean, we walked around in your shop with WeBuild, and we saw your models and Everbowl. I mean, it's incredible what you've built here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's an incredible team we have. You know, I'm definitely not the brains behind most of it. It's more the inspiration, but it's a collective group, and I appreciate that.
I feel your passion for it. You know, like, that's something you feel from an entrepreneur, I think. Well, I feel that from you. So
thank you.
You believe in what you're doing and you love what you're doing. And so that makes it special, I think, right? When you're doing something that has meaning.
Well, I think like anything, if you don't love what you're doing, you're not going to be successful at it.
You know, it's for me sometimes, because I've been doing real estate for so long, 20 years now, sometimes I catch myself where it's just another deal, it's another widget, it's another dollar. And I'm at a stage in my life now where I don't want to be looking at it like that. I want to be looking at the projects like with a whole lot more meaning. And I kind of wish I did that more sooner. But, you know, when you're in the hustle, it's all about, can I make money? And that kind of takes precedence a lot of times.
And the formula, right?
The formula, yeah.
So with that, let's jump right into the software, because that's kind of the next phase for you. Yeah. And we'll come back to real estate, because I'm fascinated with where Jerry's going. And then we'll get to where Jerry was and why.
Yeah, I kind of try to identify a little bit like you, more like a serial entrepreneur, but not totally, because most of it's all real estate related. But I've been in the education space a long time, been in the deal, like transacting and investing space for a long time. And a few years ago, we did a software, and it kind of rolled really well with my education stuff, because it was specifically for flippers, like wholesalers and flippers. And when we built that software, it was basically just like, hey, let's take all these Excel spreadsheets that we use to do the business, and let's try to like make it now more like a software. And so we like hired this development team from, you know, overseas, and it was like a shoestring budget, kind of sort of like an afterthought. It sort of kind of turned into a real thing. Like, we started getting a lot of subscribers, and very niche type of software. And we just learned so much. Like, you know, when you do your first type of thing, I'm not a software guy. I just kind of had ideas and brought in software people, sort of. I mean, it was kind of like a janky software team. And then I got to a point where it was like a bolt-on product. Like, we just kept adding and adding and adding. And I don't know if you've ever been on a software where you're like in there and you're like, what is all this stuff? And why are there so many things? And I tease people, it's called Flipster. But it's like a Lamborghini that people use like a bicycle, unwittingly, but like, it's just.
That's most of us with our iPhones. Softwares, I mean, the power of our cameras on our iPhone.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Most of us are not. I mean, you could shoot a Hollywood movie with the quality of the camera. I mean, that's better than 4K, it was 20 years ago.
Insane.
Yeah.
But I hated it, because it was kind of like, man, I've made this cumbersome. It's kind of a little complicated. It's still amazing. We have a lot of users, and it does some really cool stuff. But what happened was, is another software in our industry sold for numbers, $175 million, and I had no idea that that was even a thing. I'd never been like an IPO guy, or I never created anything thinking I'm gonna start it with the intent to sell it at some point.
With an exit in mind.
Yeah, I never did anything with an exit in mind. I mean, other than deals, but you know, that's the whole point, is an exit.
Right.
But like a business. And so when I saw that happen, I thought, well, what the heck? I wonder what my software is worth. And so I started going down that road and I quickly realized I got to fix so many things. Why don't I just start over and do a new software? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a whole, all these other things I wanted to do anyway, and but do it right. So I did it right. Like I hired the best development team. And I mean, it's just been fantastic. And it's like a, it's called PropWire, but it's a free software. So we kind of followed Zillow.
Yep.
The data, you can search data. So these are real estate people looking for sellers mostly, but it's a real estate data software where you can search in any market and then download the data for free.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, because all the other models, it's a subscription base. Yep. You get a certain amount and then they upsell you if you want more data. So it ends up being sort of pricey if you're, you know, actively using the data. But then in real estate, you have all these other ancillary services. That's like right. You skip trace to get phone numbers. You know, you might want to do some text blasting, or you might need some virtual assistants or a title company, all the different kind of components. So then what we're doing is we now either are investors and owners in those other services, or we have affiliate relationships. And so now the idea is we bring millions of users for the free data, and now they're all using the... And so now it monetizes really well.
You created a town hall and yeah. You've now set up an ecosystem, which you've given enough value that everyone wants to be a party to. And then you can figure out yourself or whoever will acquire it one day, how to monetize it the best way.
And I'll what I'm about to say here, you'll really understand. But for me, it's still a foreign concept. We're not profitable on the software and I don't even care.
Right.
As long as I can keep funding the development to make it better. And as long as we keep bringing on more users, I know the value's there because we literally will have millions of users on this software. And that's what I really care about.
And most software takes many years to be profitable.
Yeah.
If you're looking to, and that's important for anyone who's like, I'm going to go do this. You either need to be well-funded or have the resources yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you're worrying about monetizing it too soon, you're going to prevent that attraction of all that community, which is so paramount to the long-term viability of it.
But as a business guy growing up, like I've never done anything where I couldn't very quickly see how this is profitable.
Right.
You know, so it's just a whole new world for me to kind of be in that type of mindset.
But it's forcing
me to be a real, grow up. You know what I mean?
When your priorities changed from deals to an exit in mind. Yeah. And the value of the exit. Do you care if you lose $1 million a year for 5 years, but sell for $175 million in 6 years?
Yeah.
That was very profitable.
Right. And that's literally what it is. It's costing me $1 million to just operate this software a year or more to operate this software with maybe a big number down the road.
Sure.
But what happens is when you do something that monumental, then you have to have a passion and a belief in what you're doing. That has to be such a driving force.
Oh, for sure.
Because it takes so much vision to
be able to do that. And if you don't, it's going to feel like a job. And that means that it's not going to be on your brain 24/7. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be thinking about it in the shower. And so all of that
compound. Or you're going to shortcut. Or you're going to look for shortcuts.
That's right. And all that compound growth that happens. I mean, this is, I talk about this a bunch with my kids because I say, I think about my businesses all the time because I'm passionate about it, which means, I might only be in the office for 9 hours or 10 hours or 6 hours that day. But when I'm in the shower and I'm thinking about it, that compounding mind and brain power creates ideas and connects dots that maybe I wasn't going to connect for 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks. If my competitors aren't as passionate, I'm just light years ahead of them.
Yeah. And you know what's fascinating about that to me, Jeff, is like people watching right now or viewing this, a lot of your viewers are young in their early in their journey, or maybe aspiring to be an entrepreneur. And like what I tell people all the time is this is all developmental.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like if you've got fears or there's things holding you back or you're still in that like fall on your face a lot stage, that's just developmental. It's okay.
That's right.
You know, like we tend to start to define ourselves, or we can define ourselves by our mistakes. But really now, if you can have the foresight, it's all just developmental.
And you should, when you mentally pivot from thinking about mistakes as mistakes to understanding that your mistake is actually what you should be cherishing, and you should almost wear as a badge of honor to say, all those mistakes actually create what you end up monetizing the best.
Yeah.
All the ways that don't work means you are that much closer to that. It's like in sales. I mean, you know, I was an outside sales rep and a telemarketer. Every no, you know, my first sales job at ADP, they had a model. 50 calls gets you 5 appointments. 5 appointments gets you 2 deals. If I call 43 straight people and they say no, five of the next seven should be a yes, right? I'm that much closer to my yes.
You're that much closer to a yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you, people who struggle are like, oh, I can't take another no.
Yeah.
And I look at a no as nice. I have to get through 45 no's to get my five yeses.
Well, and like, I couldn't build a world-class software today had I not tried and not built a world-class software previously. You Correct. Know what I mean? Like, so it's just all developmental. Yeah. Everything that people you're going through, look at it as a developmental phase. When Sure. you started out, you weren't doing all the big things you're doing today.
And when hopefully 10 years from today, I say the same thing,
Yeah.
right? Because growth never stops.
No.
And that's where we need to make that passion connection. Because do you have to love, and this is, I think a lot of people get stuck, like, do I love everything about what I do?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, of course not.
But the end I love.
Yeah.
The bigger picture, the what we're building.
The game.
The game, the challenge, yeah. the journey. I enjoy it. I mean, yeah, there's days I hate what I'm doing or mm-hmm. I'm upset or whatever. But the bigger picture yeah. is what excites you. It lights your hair yeah. on fire.
One thing I love about what you do, Jeff, is you kind of look at business and it's just all a formula. And I've listened to some of your content where you talk about how in all of the businesses you're in, as far as the mechanics of the business, you don't actually know or have expertise in, right? You're building a lot of things and you're not swinging the hammer or know how to, you know, run the saw or whatever. But what you do know is you do know the fundamentals and the principles of business, and that now can cross into really anything.
Right. And that's a big stopper for a lot of people because they go, I need the experience. And I think experience is the most overrated prerequisite mm. to start a company or be successful. Because mm. I can read every book about real estate. I can take all of your courses and yeah. follow all your content. But if I don't ever do a deal,
yeah.
I'm never going to get that first experience until I try. I need the knowledge, and knowledge is important, right? And you should become as educated in these fields as possible. I don't know how to swing a hammer, but I'm researching construction companies yeah. and I'm learning from people who are doing it and how are they scaling their business. Same in restaurants.
And you know what needs fixed or what needs built, how much it's going to cost and what it'll sell for. That's you right. know that.
Yes. And the hack I use is I use public companies. I don't think enough entrepreneurs realize the power of that. So whatever your field is, whatever your industry is, public companies share quarterly all this information. So in the restaurant space, I can listen to McDonald's every quarter and hear from their CFO, their CMO, their CEO, what are the challenges they're expecting? What are they working on? During COVID, Domino's in their public filing, in their quarterly, was talking about how important third-party delivery is going to be and how important apps are going to be. What does that mean for Everbowl? Mm-hmm. Guys, what are we doing about third-party delivery mm-hmm. and apps?
And AI
Chipotle was
whatever.
Doing the same yeah. thing. And now you're seeing Chipotle coming out with AI and robotics and mm-hmm. in how they're cutting avocados. I can wait until everyone else is there and go, man, my restaurant, I'm behind. Mm. Or I can be proactive and say, I mean, knowledge is everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the educational space. So you're a provider of that. And I'm consuming, I mean, we talked off air, but you know, I'm now dipping my toes in real estate and mm-hmm. I'm consuming, I mean, I was consuming your data,
oh.
your content.
Thank you.
Yes, I mean, it's fascinating and, yeah. and learning and saying, it's not only what and how to do it, mm-hmm. but it's also, is this the right area or niche inside of that? Is it for me, right? Because mm-hmm. real estate's so broad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's right? so many different ways to do it. And yeah.
And flipping, mm-hmm. is that for me or not? Wholesaling, is that mm-hmm. for me or not? Mm-hmm. Long-term rental, yeah. is that for me or not? Short-term rental, is that for me or not? Development. And so the only way to learn is to consume. And when you started, and I love the, I heard a version of this story. I want the real one. I want the direct from the source. But when you started real estate, that wasn't your plan, A. Mm. And I don't know if your wife was 100% on board.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because, you know, she had grown up in a 9-to-5. Her dad worked at the same company for 30 years. You know, you own one house. You retire with a pension. So that mindset was very prevalent. So here I'm like, you know, this struggling guy to pay bills.
In construction. Young,
yeah, underground construction. Yeah, it wasn't real estate construction, but it was underground construction.
What is underground construction?
Well, it was utility work.
Okay.
So it was outside in Michigan on the weather. You know, I'd come home muddy, have to take my clothes off at the door before I could come inside. Like that was my life. We started a family right away. We had a couple young kids. And I mean, I'd always wanted something better. I just didn't have the formula and mm-hmm. I didn't have mentors and I wasn't exposed to it. You know, like I look at my kids right now and I'm like, man, you guys are exposed to so much that I just wasn't exposed to.
And
whether you take advantage of it or not is up to you. But you know what I mean? I didn't even have the exposure.
I love that you said that because the Mathis twins have a saying, exposure leads to expansion.
Yeah.
And It is such an accurate statement.
Like, I just commend people watching this right now because this wasn't even available when you and I started.
That's right.
Like, information like this, it wasn't around.
I mean, even YouTube.
It was behind a paywall if it was around.
Correct. And you had to even know that there was that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just, but I wanted it. I was hungry for it. So when I started in real estate, you know, my wife was like, no, this is not safe. This is risky. And I had to, there was this pivotal moment where I had to say, do I do it anyway? You know, and this is very common for a lot of business people that start, right? There's usually someone that's kind of the brakes, and I see a lot of dreams crushed because of just somebody with fear, and it could usually is a spouse, or it can be a spouse. Yeah. And so, so she was very against it. And
what was the impetus for real estate? Cause you're in underground construction, but why did you say,
I mean, what happened was, is like most people, I read an article that said, you know, 80% of millionaires are in real estate. I said, okay, well, my margin of error, you know, like, okay, that maybe that's what I should do. And I had the same misconception everybody else does, that you have to have money to make money in real estate. And certainly there's some truth to that, but you don't have to have money to get started, and you don't have to have money to do a lot of aspects of real estate. There is really low and zero down ways to start transacting.
Sure.
But most people don't know that. They just think you got to have big down payments or all this money or access to money. So when I started to learn that there was a way to do real estate and transact real estate where I didn't have to have money, that was very appealing to me because that was me. I didn't have money, didn't have credit, didn't have resources, connections, none of those things. But, you know, going back to my wife, I just did it anyway, you know, against her wishes.
You said, honey, this is what I want to do. She said,
at first I did it on the sly. Like I didn't even tell her.
Okay.
Right. And then we had a baby. By the way, we have 10 kids. So this was, I think, kid number 3. We're on our way from the airport. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this property I'm buying is like right around the corner from here. Maybe now's a good time to tell her.
Had you already purchased the property?
It was under contract.
Is this the first one?
One of the first ones, yeah. And it wasn't the first one, but it was in the first little while.
So you owned a property and she didn't know.
Yeah, she didn't even know. And so I said, I drove by, and this is not a good neighborhood, by the way. This is like bad area of Detroit.
Okay.
So I take her down this neighborhood, and she literally has got we just had a baby, you know what I mean? Bad timing. By the way, don't ever tell your spouse you're investing in real estate when you just had a baby. Bad idea. And I said, hey, I'm buying, and there was like two properties, they were close by. I said, hey, honey, we're buying these two properties. And she's like, looks at me like, she just breaks down in tears. Like, what are you doing? And her family was like, yeah, they're gonna be moving into the basement soon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they thought. Like, oh my gosh, who did our daughter marry? They're gonna be moving into the basement next week. But here's what I tell people. What I did to win her over is I quickly got to success. Okay, so like, you wanna win someone over about what you're doing, show them some results. Doesn't have to be big results, sure. But just show them results. What I think a lot of times is men in particular, and this could be either way, but you know, we say we're going to do things and then we lack the integrity to do it.
Yeah.
And the biggest way for your wife to not believe in you or your spouse to not believe in you is to say you want something, say you have a dream, but then don't do it. So I had been telling her, I have a dream to own my own business. I want a better life for us. Mm-hmm. But that was just lip service until I actually did it with or without her support.
That's right.
So then what happened is, this is a really funny story. I'm not sure if you heard this story, but early on, I did this wholesale transaction, which is just, you know, flipping my contract. And the guy that bought this, he paid me $4,000 in bills, like $100 bills.
Oh, wow.
Cash, yeah. And like, I'm like driving home, like looking out, like, is someone going to come run me off the road and take this cash? So what I do is I go home, she's not home, and I put like $100 bills like all over the house with sticky notes that say, thank you for believing in me. I couldn't do this without you. And then and then she comes in and I'm like lying on the bed, you know, like this with money everywhere. Naked, no. And
could have been.
Maybe I was.
I mean, 10 kids.
And it was just this moment of like, where for her, it was like, look at you doing your thing. Look at you doing what you say you're gonna do. Even though I haven't been supportive of this, there was a proud moment of, at least you're having integrity with what you say you want and what mm-hmm. you're gonna do. But she quickly got on board, and I took that $4,000 and I said, honey, this is going in a jar, and this money is only being used for babysitting so that we can go out on date night and have time together, because you're a priority to me. Yep. I wanna make money, I wanna do business, but you are a priority to me. And we did for years. That was like our babysitting money. Oh, out of that jar.
That's fun. I wanted to
share with her, like, hey, come with me on this journey. And now she's just been amazing and so supportive and helpful and you know, but sometimes you have to believe so strongly in your dream that you're willing to make the sacrifice and willing to go alone.
As an entrepreneur, I know how meaningful it is to invest in the people and causes that are close to me. And on GoFundMe, it's easy, safe, and powerful to do just that. Whether you're supporting a family member, friend, local business, or charity. And whenever you make a donation, you're protected by the GoFundMe Giving Guarantee. Visit GoFundMe.com today to help make a positive difference in your community. It's a want until you, you know, it's a hope.
Yeah.
It's not a, it's not a, it's not a, it's not anything until you take that first step.
Yeah.
But what was that first step? I want to go back because you said you did a little bit without on the slide, but what was the first thing you did? Because for a lot of our audience, like they are still working in that construction job or some job and they want to transition to entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Well, what's great about real estate is there's a niche strategy called wholesaling. You'd mentioned it earlier. And the idea there is go find a great deal from a seller who's it's a distressed property and the seller needs cash really quickly. So there's an urgency and they would take convenience of a cash transaction to get and give a discount.
Yep.
Okay. So, and these are all over the place, right? It's work to find them, but if you find them, then what happens is you can contract with a purchase and sale agreement. You can contract to buy that property at a discount, but then you don't have to be the buyer because that contract is assignable. So then you make the deal on a piece of paper, but then now here's an investor over here who does buy deals, does invest, has cash, has resources, and he will love to have that deal and he'll pay to buy it and he'll pay whatever his price is. He'll pay whatever the difference is with your contract.
So you can upcharge it.
Yeah. So in simple terms, and this is no different than what you're doing, right? Where you explain to me exactly wholesaling, right? Where you're getting it direct and you're selling it with a markup. And the buyer's happy to do it because they didn't have to go source the deal. You did it for them.
That's right.
So same idea. And so like if I get it for $5,000, but they'll pay $10,000, I get to make $5,000 without owning it, without renovating it, without tenants or insurance or on title, none of that. So it's just transacting paper.
So how did you identify and find a good deal with zero experience?
Zero experience. And at the time, no data, no technology, none of these things we have now. So there is a technique, it's still prevalent today, called driving for dollars, where you literally drive around in a neighborhood, look for distressed property.
Distressed meaning rundown.
Rundown, yeah, gutter falling off, you know, vacant, dilapidated, grass this tall, clearly someone neglecting.
Yep.
Some maybe they live there, maybe it's an investor who just isn't doing anything. And then you try to contact that seller and you make an offer to buy it for cash, assign your contract to the actual end buyer.
So you found a property, it was distressed.
Yep.
You contacted them. How many did it take till you got a yes?
Oh, hundreds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the part. So wholesaling is the most simple business model you could ever dream of. Everyone complicates it because you're like, it can't be that simple. So I'm going to complicate it. And now I have a reason why I'm not doing it. Right. Have you seen that in business?
Yes, all the time.
Like when you were walking through and explaining to me what you're doing, the concept of what you're doing, Jeff.
Simple.
It is so simple. I didn't say easy, but it's very simple. And what you've done now is you've just scaled that model, brought the resources in, but—
Almost every business is simple.
It's very simple.
I mean, is Amazon complicated? It's an online e-tailer.
It is the most simple thing. Why do we make things so complicated? Now, what's hard is building a business around that simple thing. That's hard.
Of course.
Because you got to develop yourself, develop a team, motivate everybody, moving parts, like all the things. But that's the only thing that's hard about wholesaling is scaling or running a business at wholesales. But the actual transaction of a wholesale deal is the most simple thing you can imagine. And so like I'm not a smart guy. I'm a, you know, barely a C student in high school, but I get this. But now am I willing to go out there and hustle? Can I take the no's to get that one yes? Right. And I just drove around and I did it at the time I did it before work. If I had time on lunch breaks, after work and on weekends, side hustled it. And one thing I did do, I think that kind of maybe separates me from others is, I never had a plan B. So it wasn't like, hey, I'm going to try this. I have a lot of people that come into my programs and training and get into the business because it does attract like a get rich because it's like fast money. So it attracts a lot of people who want money with no work.
Yep.
Then they quickly realize this is work and I'm out and I'm on to the next cool thing. So that wasn't me. I was like, I'll put in whatever work it takes. And it's not if it'll work, but it's when it'll work. And I think when you have that mindset, when you go into business, then you hit these walls, you climb over them, you hit another wall, you climb over it, you screw something up, you get back up on the horse. Like, that was me. Just screw up until I figured it out.
Yeah, you're going to Kaizen your way there. 1% better every day.
Yeah, and that was kind of how I started doing the business. I still was very fearful. Like, I didn't quit the job. What I did is I said, okay, well, I'm going to save up enough money doing these little transactions until I have enough to replace my annual income, which was not much. Mm-hmm. It was like $25,000 or whatever it was at the time. And then when I did the full-time plunge, I did 5 wholesale deals in my first month full-time and made $52,000.
Wow.
And that, at the time, that doesn't sound like much now, but
it's double your income.
And it was, to me, it was all the money in the world at the time.
Of course.
And then it was like, I found my thing. I can do this. And it was just straight
ahead. How many more can I do?
Yeah. And one thing I did though, I think that maybe more important to all of this, and I heard you say this briefly before we were recording, is, you know, really, entrepreneurship is probably all, it's mostly mental, like maybe 80, 90% your own self-limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. It's, we get in our own way. And so what I did is, at the time, I couldn't afford to go buy like the CDs from the greats, you know? So I went to the public library and I checked out of the library Tony Robbins and Tom Hopkins and Brian Tracy and Zig Ziglar was like one of my favorites. And while I'm driving around in a little pickup truck looking mm-hmm. for some distressed house, they're in my ear, the whole time in my ear. And that was the greatest transformation that ever happened to me, was just thinking in a different way.
You actually invested in your brain.
Yeah.
And your process, how you approach things.
I mean, that was the development of myself was just everything. And so like I look back and I would have paid $1 million for the CD player. At the time they were CDs. Yeah. The CD player in that little beat up truck was worth more money to me, you know, in perspective than anything else I could have ever done.
And I think you're hitting on something so important, right? Because as we go through life, as we're struggling and we're saying, I'm doing everything I can, are you? What are you watching at night?
Yeah.
Are you watching Netflix or are you on YouTube learning from great content, educational content that can empower you?
Yeah.
Are you listening to your favorite music station or are you listening to podcasts and audiobooks in something you are striving to do? I don't listen to a ton of music. It drives my family mm-hmm. crazy because I look at my what I call my windshield time as opportunity to continue to learn new things. And whatever it is, like right now I am actually learning about real estate mm-hmm. because
important to you now.
It's an investment area I want to focus on. I realize I don't have a good allocation there. A lot of millionaires there. A lot of my friends do really well. And I'm like, what is a long-term plan? And real estate just, they're not making more land.
Yeah. You know, I love that you say that too. And that's a cultural thing. Like in our family, we are a podcast family. Mm-hmm. We don't do any, and our kids have now grown up in a podcasting family or a YouTube family. Like when we're driving and now when they're on their own, they're on podcasts, our teens.
Yes.
They're not listening to music or whatever. Now they like music, but I mean, they're podcasting.
And it's okay to listen to music.
Yeah, I'm not saying
that
either.
But treat it like dessert.
Yeah.
Don't make that your meal, right? Unless you're completely content with where you are. Mm-hmm. If you do not need to learn anymore and you are like, I'm in my zone, I'm having the success I want, and I'm going to listen to music, go for it. Yeah. But if you're not where you want to be and you're struggling and you're really trying, but you're not capitalizing on that, what I call that windshield time or that shower time, that's the margin. Everyone else is learning in the same 8-to-5. Mm-hmm. Like you had the 8-to-5 or 9-to-5 job. It's what you do when no one else is around, that extra bit. And like you said, what kept you going with all those no's was Zig Ziglar.
Yeah.
Brian Tracy.
Yeah. Tony Robbins. Like, even to this day, they're like my heroes because I had such an emotional and mental transformation. Mm-hmm. That now they're like iconic to me because they were such an important part of my development, my life.
So you did something that I found fascinating. It was 2014, I think, when you started creating content. Mm. You were very early to the record. You recognized early the power of personal brand, the power of creating content, and then utilizing that content to grow a business. Mm. We talked. I'm very late to that party. Mm. What inspired you to do that? Because you're making a ton of money in real estate, but now you started to turn towards education and content. What was the pivot? What made you pivot to that?
You know, I didn't quite have the same realization that you're having, which is, you know, when I build a personal brand, it's going to bring so much connection to my businesses. for me, I was already in the education space. So I was selling products. A lot of it at the time was like home study type of programs. Those were very prevalent for a long time.
Prior to the real estate content.
Yeah, prior to just social media really becoming a content platform. You know, it didn't really start out that way. It used to be, you know, cats on YouTube, right? But it quickly turned into a content place where people are really learn. Education became a big part of it. So at the time I was selling products and we were just, it was pay to play. We'd run ads, we'd get a customer. I loved it. It was like, awesome. How much money can we spend? What is the return? Let's spend more money. Let's get more customers, sell more products. But what was starting to happen, and I felt late, what was starting to happen was, is I was starting to see the free content come on the scene. And I was just looking ahead 5 years, 10 years. And I thought to myself, the home study course is going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah.
It's going to be gone. And what was happening at the time, you'd see this, maybe you remember this. I still see this today and it cracks me up. You'll see where like on YouTube or somewhere, you'll say, hey, here's steps 1, 2, 3. If you want steps 4, 5, 6, buy my course. Like that's what it used to be.
Yes.
And so what I did while that was happening, what I did is I said, you know what? I'm going to stop selling a home study course and I'm going to give it all. And I'm not going to hold back. And I'm just going to give so much value. I'm going to take the paywall down for the information. And then, but you know, I'm still a business guy. So then what it was software, coaching. We have like a finder program where you can find deals. We have different things. And I took my course that I used to sell and now it's free. Like here's a free, and it's good.
And that's,
and it's
like really so good. Powerful.
It was a $1,500 course that we now give for free. And so I follow a very unique strategy. Maybe, I don't know if viewers will find this relevant, but what I like to do is I like to give not just good information, but we give a lot of resources.
I think so, you have 47 giveaways
on
YouTube.
Okay, yeah, so you know, yeah. And we're always, and now it's up to 50 something because we're always thinking of what is something really beneficial that people need and want and can be helpful. So a contract, a checklist, a script, whatever. Every business has them. And we used to put those things behind a paywall. Well, I give them all for free. Just here you go, free, 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 free. Now they opt in, they join a mailing list, and now I've taken them off of social media because who owns that fan, that subscriber?
You do.
Well, before you take them off, the platform does. So YouTube owns my 500,000 subscribers. I don't own them. And they could turn me off tomorrow.
True.
Technically, right? But if I get them off of YouTube and on my mailing list, now they're my customers. I can email them anything I want. I can offer them special promotions. I can get to know them better. So that's kind of been our model is, and we build, I mean, we build 20,000 email opt-ins a month.
Wow.
And then now they're in our funnels. Now we can offer them special promotions. We can watch their behavior. We can give them what they want, what they don't want.
Yep.
You know, so, but now they're on my email list. Now they can opt out if they're no longer interested for sure. But I mean.
But you're giving so much content and value. Why would they?
Right. And so now when I say, hey, watch this training to learn about an offer, they're like, well, this guy gives me really good information that he's not charging me for. He gives me amazing resources that I get to use for free. I want to listen to what he has to say.
Yeah, you've earned the right to ask them to do something.
Law of reciprocity.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's just been an amazing business model because now I'll meet people in the airport and they're like, man, you changed my life. So 90% of what I do, people get to do for free. I don't get to make money on it. Mm-hmm. But then what's happening though, is it's starting to, it's a long game. You got to play the long game with this, right? Is people are now willing to buy whatever I have to sell.
Sure.
The few times that happens, they want it because I built rapport.
And it's
trust.
So premium at that point, right? Because you've given them all of the entry level and light advanced and advanced. But now it's like a lot of people want to learn, but now they want to work with Jerry.
Yeah.
They want to actually work with you.
But what I didn't realize, Jeff, is what you're doing right now, which is I did not realize how much more opportunity would come my way by having a personal brand and having a social presence.
Yeah, I mean, I only learned this, I only committed January 1st, 2023.
And it's totally fine because, I mean, what you're building in your businesses is just astronomically, I mean, it's just amazing. Well, so I think what you'll do is you'll do a little different than me is I think you're going to jump to the front of the line way faster because you can have whatever high profile person on your podcast you want because of your business accolades. You know what I mean? So
it helps.
That's going to be helpful.
It helps.
Yeah.
It definitely helps. And the relationship
you
capital.
You can skip like the C and B level guys like me and go right to the, you know, pro athletes and the, you know.
I did the long game 20 years ago of building relationship capital.
Yeah.
And I always used a concept of bug light. I went to law school to be a sports agent.
Okay.
And, the idea there is I'm not the talent. I represent the talent. Mm. So I've always had that mindset where when Neil Patel was my partner, you know, he was the big name. I don't need the attention. So I would sell Neil's name and we'd go together and it was all about Neil.
And now you're linked though.
Well, he's my buddy and we used to do business. We were partners.
Yeah.
He's now a very good friend, right? So Neil can open doors for me and, you know.
Dan Fleisman and these really high profile people.
And I never thought of it that way. So kind of like how you gave away free value, I just enabled others and stood in the background and just did business and connected dots and did what I did. And now I realize like I've earned the right to invite Drew Brees to come in here. He'll sit with me for an hour. We'll have a conversation and I'm now sitting with Drew Brees, right? Yeah. Or I'm sitting with Shaq or whoever I'm with. Yeah. Those opportunities, similar to you with the email opt-in, I used to do my version of give it all away for free, not caring about a personal brand until I finally realized through the help of a lot of my close friends and mentors and investors that said, Jeff, you need to get out there a little bit more. You have more value to give. And I don't care about fame and I don't care if people come up to me in an airport, know my face or don't. I want to lead with value. I want to help as many people, but I'm also a business guy.
That's
and I want to attract my community and tribe into what I think, and I want to give them value and enable them to be successful and connect them to my companies.
Yeah, and you're playing that strategy really well. I mean, it's because what'll happen is it will land you those big deals. It'll get your circles will get even better and bigger.
It compounds.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I live in Puerto Rico part of the year, and I'm doing some deals there, and I bought a hotel, and then solely because of the little bit of a brand name I have, I had one of the largest real estate investors in Old San Juan, owns the majority commercial property owner. He contacts me and says, I've got two hotels. I want to partner with you on my hotels. I see what you're doing. But he has no idea who I am other than I have a personal brand. Mm-hmm. And that just lent a lot of credibility enough. And he's reaching out to me and I didn't know who he was. And I was blowing him off. And then finally I say, listen, if you come out to me and meet with me at my house, then I'll sit down with you. And he's like, okay, done. And I mean, this guy's a billionaire. I make him drive from Old San Juan an hour out to where I live. We're sitting in my little gazebo office. And it dawned on me very quickly, like, holy crap, this is like, I cannot believe I just made this guy come out to me and chase me. But that would have never happened. I could have had all the same success in real estate, doing all the same deals. No personal brand, he wouldn't even have known to reach out to me.
Well, and this goes to my own self-limiting beliefs, because I think a lot of people on the other side of the camera or, you know, let people who have had a level of financial success or business success or real estate success, and they don't think we deal with the same issues mentally, the same insecurities of imposter syndrome. And
oh, totally.
I think the personal brand side for especially the super young, you know, not yet accomplished anything in business or in life, but they're just getting out there and getting started and they're on that journey. There's a time where you need to have some success and put in the hard work. And that doesn't mean you can't continue to work on a personal brand simultaneously. But if I'm 18 years old and I just graduated high school and I've never run a company, I can do a lot of posting on content, but can I talk intelligently yet about business? No, I got to do it maybe about something I learned in high school or how I'm going to tackle the world and do it differently. And I never felt like I was needing to do that until now, right? And I think same with you, what you're kind of just articulated. And so that personal brand side needs to coincide with success in your market.
Totally.
Success in your industry.
I think one of the biggest mistakes I see is that exact same thing where people recognize that there's a real need for them to be on social. But then what happens is they're coming on social and they're trying to be Jeff, they're trying to be Jerry, they're trying to be whoever when they don't have yet that.
Yes.
And that's okay. Just be you. Yep. And whatever level of success you have on that level, people will actually respect you even more.
And don't
if you're
be
not
an
being what you're not. Right.
Actually say, you know what, guys? I'm new in real estate. I'll be honest. I've owned personal houses and stuff, but this year I made a commitment to invest in real estate and be a real estate investor. I'm a real estate newbie. If I created my own channel, it would be saying, guys, join me on my journey as I figure this out. I'm not a real estate gazillionaire and I don't know how to flip houses. I'm going to learn. And together, if you follow me, I'll make mistakes. You can watch those real time. Like, that's a way to do content.
I would watch that content. I would watch that content.
Don't be the expert. If I come on and go, guys, I'm Jeff, and I'm
gonna tell you everything I've done. My one deal I've done.
Yeah, my one or two deals. Come here to learn about how all the expert stuff I have. Yeah. I'm not authentic, right?
No.
So I think that's the pivot. And so for me, now that I'm doing this personal branding thing, I'm much more aware of what I see out there. And I think the issue for a lot of people building a personal brand, they're like maybe like me, feeling insecure about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it, even though I'd sold companies and I'd made millions of dollars. I was like, well, what is my personal brand going to be, you know? And I felt insecure. And so I think if you're on the sideline without a personal brand and you're saying, well, I haven't accomplished things yet, share your journey to become accomplished. Mm-hmm. And if you're a teacher and you're like, watch me empower 50 students this year to get better grades mm-hmm. in math, science, whatever it is. If you're a firefighter, talk about your conditioning and how you're doing that and how you're learning your craft. If you're in construction, mm-hmm. if you're in real estate, if you know, whatever it is, share your journey from where you really are. And
that's
I think
really
people want
advice.
Vulnerability. Hey, fitness fans, ready to crush your fitness goals? Make your move to EOS Fitness, where becoming a member starts at just $9.99 a month. Gyms are open 24/7 and packed with the latest gym equipment to keep your workouts fresh. What are you waiting for? Give them a call, drop by, or hit up jefffenster.com/EOS to join. EOS Fitness, better gym, better price. Now, let's get after those goals.
Yeah, you know what? Self-awareness and being vulnerable about your own faults mm-hmm. and your own failures. I when I see someone who's willing to share that and still move forward and still see success, I have tremendous respect for that because it's real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you have 500,000 subscribers on YouTube. I won't lie to you. We celebrated when we hit 500 YouTube subscribers. I was excited. It's 500 people that made a commitment to push a button and say they want to join our channel. And you know what? One day I hope I have millions.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll never forget the first 500.
Yeah.
Because those are that's the hardest.
But you're embracing the journey. And
well,
so,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love that.
And so then it doesn't matter because you'll keep doing the work. And, you know, it's interesting for me, like on the content, people ask me all the time, well, how do you decide what you're going to do or what you're going to do content about? And there's certainly like, well, what's the algorithm want? Like there's some strategy and that's smart to, you know, think about your titles and things like that. But at the same time, mostly what I'm doing is I'm just sharing what I'm doing. Here's the deals I'm doing. Here's why I did a deal. Watch me put the deal together. And that's it.
Yep.
And so like you just said, if you can actually be authentic, be real about who you are, show what you're doing, increase your skills the whole time because you are on the most competitive platform ever. The content world now is so competitive that somehow you have to separate yourself from the masses.
Yes. And you have you have to give your tribe a reason to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what we're trying to do on the Jeff Fenster Show is we're trying to share the success formula of incredibly successful humans that are outside of what I do. Right. Because mm-hmm. I've been successful at what I do. You've been successful at what you do. And there's common traits, but we approach it differently. And we approach it from a different upbringing and different life circumstance. And I don't have 10 kids. I have two. Right.
But it's a good start, Jeff.
Well, thank you. We're not working on any more, but thank you. And you stay on that side of the table. But what I think is amazing about you, Jerry, is you have so many built-in excuses that prevent people from achieving success, and you've compounded them, right? Mm. Oh, I have 3 kids or 4 kids. I can't afford. You have 10.
Yeah.
I mean, you've shown that the number of children doesn't stop you.
Yeah.
You had a spouse that wasn't supportive mm-hmm. to start. You didn't have a family that said, Jerry, we're all behind you day mm-hmm. one. You had to overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have all this upper education, you know, Harvard MBAs.
Grew up in down a dirt road in an old farmhouse in rural Michigan, you know,
right.
Like, I didn't have any of those things.
You didn't come from all this money that gave you the, like, so when you look at that and you look at Jerry and you see where you are today, I think it's so amazing. And the reason I'm doing the show is I want everyone on that side to say, you know what? I might not have 10 kids, but I have a lot of the same challenges Jerry had when he was doing it. And you know what? Look what he accomplished. Can I not drive for dollars in real estate? Can I not listen to Jerry on YouTube while I'm driving and inspiration from others? Can I not do those same things? This is the roadmap. So if you were trying to be successful, this is what you need to realize, that we all come from different backgrounds. Some of us are more fortunate to start at a higher starting point, but everyone has to put in the work.
Yeah, I think Jeff, and maybe you've seen this too, with most people that come into business, because there's such a high attrition rate to the business, any business, is you know, having that real compelling reason, that driving thing that just gets you out of bed. It's really interesting to me because, you know, I'll talk to a lot of people who get discouraged and you know, they're asking me to, you know, how do I stay motivated? And it's the strangest thing for me because I can't even relate to that. Like I get out of bed excited. Mm-hmm. I don't need motivated to get out of bed. I don't need someone telling me, hey, Jerry, get out of bed and go do something. And I haven't for such a long time. And I think that's because I just have a compelling reason. I believe so strongly in what I'm doing and I'm so passionate about it. In fact, I think I thought of my quote for your wall.
Oh, all yeah. right.
You want to hear it?
Yes.
If your why doesn't make you cry, it's not big enough.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that would go good. Because you got some really cool ones on the wall.
That's a good one. If your why doesn't make you cry, it's not big enough.
Meaning if you don't have this really moving, compelling mm-hmm. reason, it's too easy to quit and go back to a 9-to-5 and something right. else and then get home and turn Netflix on. It's just too easy. And we live in America where you can get by comfortably and do that mm-hmm. and live the same year 70 years in a row. I don't want to live the same year 70 years in a row.
And I don't want my best days to be yesterday. Yeah. Right? And I share this. I don't usually share what I do for fitness, but I work out 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I don't miss a day. It's no amazing. Days off.
Yeah.
Zero. I do cardio every single day, no matter my travel, et cetera. And when someone asks me, well, why?
Yeah.
Because I have a goal of being healthy and that goal is every day. So if yeah. there's a day I don't have that determination that I don't want to be healthy, I won't work out. Mm. If I don't want to make money, I won't think about my business. If I don't want to be a good dad, I don't have days where I decide, you know what? I'm okay being a terrible dad today.
Yeah.
I just don't have that. So I'm going to strive to be a good dad every day. And when that motivation to do those things, it's because of the why. It's because I have these goals and they are everyday goals.
Yeah.
My real estate's not an everyday goal, so I don't do real estate every day. Mm-hmm. Right? There are days I don't think about real estate.
Well, it's interesting. My oldest, he's 23, got married recently. And
congratulations.
And he's doing amazing. Marriage has been the best thing for him. He's growing up so much. He's doing so good. I'm so proud of him. His wife that he married, sweetheart, our family just loves her. She came from very much similar to my wife's background, like the 9-to-5, you know, you have just enough money in your bank account. You basically live to pay bills, mm-hmm. right? Like that. And so she said to me, we were talking and she said to me, oh, Jerry, I don't want to have to think about money all the time. I don't want to have to think about money. And so I looked at her and I said, then you won't have any.
That's right.
You won't have any. Because the reality is if you want to have money, you want to be successful in business, it's going to consume you for a lot. And you got to learn how to compartmentalize. That's going to be your biggest challenge. You know, that's been my biggest challenge, probably yours too. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, how do I turn this off sometimes, you know?
Balance.
Yeah. But like, you got to be thinking about that. When you get home from the day job, you're thinking about the side hustle. When your head hits the pillow, you're thinking about the side hustle. When that side hustle finally becomes a real thing, you're thinking about the real thing. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen here is there's a lie that if you aren't a business owner or money is important, that you're not thinking about money. That's the biggest lie ever. Because when you get the flat tire or when all you're thinking about all the time is money.
That's right.
It consumes you. Money no longer consumes me. Now I get to do passion.
That's right.
Because all the needs are met. I live so well, you know, below my means, right? So that I can go and do and pretty much do whatever I want now. And so now it's about, well, how much impact can I have?
Yes.
How do I have impact now?
And that's what we all want, right? That's the natural progression.
Yes.
And I think you nailed it. I think that what you don't focus your brain power on, it's like, mm-hmm. like I talk about in the shower, like I don't think about, I'm not daydreaming about
yeah.
some time in Puerto Rico on the beach.
Yeah.
Right? I'm thinking about my companies. I'm thinking mm-hmm. about my family. I'm thinking about ways that I can improve. I'm constantly working on myself.
Yeah.
Constantly. Because I want to be a better version of myself. Every day I want to be better than I was yesterday. In everything I do, mm-hmm. I think success is 360 degrees of improvement.
Yeah. If you're not growing, you're dying.
Yes.
It's like humans are like a plant. Yes. A plant is either growing or a tree. A plant is either growing or dying. It never just stays.
That's right.
And that's us. That's human development.
So for the audience, Jerry, what would be the one thing for those that are interested in real estate?
Yeah.
In today's current mm-hmm. circumstance, yeah. macro environment, whatever we want to call it, high interest rates, real estate has obviously gone up a lot. We're in a weird time in the world, very polarizing,
yes.
just weird moment. This is a weird moment in world history. Well, if you had to start over today, you're on the other side.
Yeah.
You're 22. You're working in construction. You read that 80% of millionaires are in real estate. What's the first thing you would do today?
Yeah, I love this question. And what I'm going to say is going to be contrary to like what a lot of other people say. And it's not even necessarily right, maybe. I feel so strongly about this when you get into real estate. I think the biggest mistake people make is they do the wrong type of investing in real estate in the wrong order. It's not that it's wrong, they do it in the wrong order. And so what I believe is I believe that you first have to transact real estate, not hold real estate. Now, again, I get a lot of negativity around this, but here's my belief around this. Real estate as a long-term strategy, meaning you're now holding assets and you're taking the benefits of cash flow, appreciation, depreciation. Like I know you're looking at tax strategy. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is people very early on, they start to try to hold these assets. Well, they don't know how to manage the assets and they quickly run into some barriers to grow enough to have impact. And if you learn how to transact, and when I say transact, what I mean is like do deals that make cash and create what I call a printing press. And there's two ways you can create a printing press. Another business source can create a printing press, or real estate itself can create the printing press. The strategy itself can. Kick out enough cash to now meet the needs, pay the bills, provide a nice living, because that's important, right? Mm-hmm. Have a padded bank account. Everybody needs and wants that. Then take that excess cash and now start to learn how to invest.
For holding.
Yeah, people do this really wrong. And I think a lot of it's from, I joke around about the, the Purple Bible, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, mm-hmm. Poor Dad,
yeah.
Where it's like, you know, get enough cash flow real estate that's more than your expenses and you're retired.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the reality of real estate because there's rainy days, you know, the roof needs replaced, the furnace goes out. And so what happens is people are trying to live on cash flow from a real estate asset when they have no business touching that cash flow. All of that money has to stay in it for a long time until you've got enough of a portfolio. At some point, yeah, but it's just a long game. So like, for example, you're a great example to me and you're most real estate people, you have these very successful businesses kicking out a lot of cash that you're now bringing over into real estate. Real estate isn't your main thing and it never will be, but it will become an amazing vehicle for wealth building because of all the tax benefits and the appreciation tax, yep. All the things that real estate does. But see, you're doing it right. You've got your printing press that's now funneling into your real estate investments. But you're able now, because of your cash, you're able to do down payments. You don't need to see the money from the real estate to pay your bills this month.
Correct.
That's smart. So if people are thinking, I'm going to go buy a rental property and I'm going to use that $200 to make my car payment, you're in trouble.
Because
you're
in big trouble. When the roof needs repair, you don't have the money.
Yep. And I see so much failure in real estate because not that the strategy's wrong, the order's wrong. So sure. I use this analogy in real estate all the time. Your freshman year is wholesaling.
Okay.
Your sophomore year is fix and flip. Now fix and flip, you have to buy the asset, you got to hire contractors, borrow money. So it's a next level, right? It's still transacting though, because you're in, you're out, you make some money. So wholesaling, lowest risk, fix and flip is sophomore year, junior year is buy and hold.
Okay.
And it's usually single family because that's a good place to start. Senior year is going to be development or commercial, multifamily, you know, the kind of bigger assets. But if you think about how you progress in anything,
you start with transact.
Start transacting low risk, then transact a little bit higher risk, fix and flip, then start to hold assets.
Yes.
Then maybe go into bigger assets. Like I'm doing hotels and the kind of bigger projects, development and things. But that's senior year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you can go through, you can go really quickly.
But you got to go in order.
And there are certainly people that skip grades, right?
Yeah, I mean, I never flipped a house.
Yeah, you're skipping, yeah. But see, you've got a master's degree or a doctorate's degree over here.
Right.
So you're kind of skipping a couple grades. Yeah. You can.
I mean, I looked at it at this stage in my career, and I do have the financial means.
Yeah.
My why of real estate is not to make cash flow. My why of real estate is to make generational wealth and tax strategies.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what
for
I was.
You, it would make no sense to wholesale or fix and flip because that's a high cash strategy.
I'm actually looking if a wholesaler wants to call me with a good opportunity.
Right.
I'm actually
You're the
love
cash
that.
Buyer. Yeah.
I'm the buyer.
Yeah. Because you already have a printing press. You don't need one. But what happens is people come into real estate with no printing press. And when I say that, I mean
a business that makes money.
Something generating a lot of money that you need to do something with, right? Mm-hmm. You can either do that in real estate or do it in business. But if you follow kind of that mindset there, I think people will be really safe and successful.
So as you're sitting here listening to this and you're saying, okay, I need to get started, there is actually no better real estate educational individual that I know in the world other than you, who focuses 80, 90% of his content for exactly that freshman, sophomore individual.
Wholesaling and flipping, yeah.
Wholesaling and flipping. So you need to go to YouTube right now. Well, if you're watching this on YouTube, finish it and then go to Jerry's channel. Obviously, he's got over 50 free giveaways that will cost you nothing and empower you to take immediate decisive action in this industry.
And if you're watching this on my channel, then you also need to get into Jeff's world. He's doing content that is like all driven towards the entrepreneur. It's around your mindset in business. How do you build a team? How do you find the right people? How do you attract talent, right? How do you grow and scale? Like, those are things that apply definitely in real estate.
Yeah, well, thank
you. And in all business. So guys, also make sure you follow Jeff. If you are on my channel right now watching this, I'm going to put your info below your channel. Please subscribe to Jeff and follow him as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But Jerry, this has been awesome.
And we're going to do some investing, I think. You know, like I want to also invest in what you're doing.
And ditto. I was talking to Pace. I want to do some real estate deals with you guys.
Let's do it.
You guys are the experts. I want to participate. And that's the other element, I think, which we didn't really touch on. But if you do have a little extra cash and you don't have the time, investing with smart people who have and are syndicating opportunities, it's a fast track to success.
We're doing a really cool thing. We're doing a fund right now on my hotel projects in Puerto Rico. And the way we're building the fund, I think you really like this, is we're part of that fund is our investors are also going to learn while they earn. So we're going to mastermind with our investors about what we're doing.
Oh, that's cool. So in Puerto Rico?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they can come out to Puerto Rico. We can show them, okay, we're going to open the books and be like, okay, here's why these are deals. Here's how we're structuring these deals. Here's why we're renovating them this way. Here's how we're going to monetize these assets. So for me, if I was investing in something to get to kind of come in and see that, that would be very fascinating. And I think,
am very interested.
Cool.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Well, I'm pumped to also collaborate with you, Jeff.
Well, this has been great, Jerry. Together, and so thank you so much for stopping in San Diego. I mean, I know it was a trek, so I really, really appreciate it.
It's fun because I'm going to spend some time with my wife here. And I was going to meet you with Pace Morby, dear friend, and just one of the greatest human beings alive.
Love Pace.
Yeah, just phenomenal. He made the connection for you and I. And I thought, you know, maybe we reschedule where Pace is here with us, but I'm so glad that we still met and got to do this. So,
and we're going to be together in Vegas at WealthCon.
Yeah.
So if you're in Vegas in October, you can come meet us both and hang out. Yep. Go to WealthCon, Ryan Pineda's event. We're both speaking. It's a fantastic event with incredible value on real estate, entrepreneurship, and all of the above.
Some amazing speakers there.
Yes. Yeah, and Ryan's great too.
Yeah, Ryan's awesome.
But Jerry, dude, thank you, man. This was awesome.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Hey everyone, first I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And if you guys haven't heard about my new book, Relationship Bank Account, click the link in the show notes or search the title on Amazon. This book is packed with all my secrets to success in both relationships and life. Make sure to pick up a copy, and if the book helps you on your journey, let us know by leaving a review. I appreciate all of you and can't wait to see you on the next one.